Yo, welcome to, I don't know, what is this? Oh yeah, the Get Your Nerd On podcast with me, P90, and today we have lots and lots of news. I mean, lots of news. Like, I actually mean lots of news for once in my life. We used to have lots of news, and then, you know, shit happened, and I'll explain what happened. But for those of y'all who is just joining me, because I got a couple new followers on Twitter, and I don't know if they're listening, but you know, this right here is the podcast where you get, wait, I put out a trailer for this podcast, so y'all don't have to hear me do this at the beginning of these episodes. But if for some reason you didn't listen to the trailer, I talk about comics, video games, news and that crap, and sometimes movies and other stuff. Today, I will definitely be talking about a movie. I will also be talking about some Invincible, because I finished reading the library editions, but there's an issue with that too. Anyway, let's get this shit cracking, cuz. So, I just seen New Mutants, because New Mutants is on HBO Max. So I sat there and I watched New Mutants. I've only read the newer New Mutant comics, and anyone who's been on this podcast already knows. I haven't been reading X-Men for the longest. I've just been a huge fan of the X-Men whenever I was able to see the X-Men. And also, people know that I'm reluctant to give things fair chances, okay? Now, I seen New Mutants, and it wasn't the worst movie ever. All right, it was not. It was bad, but it wasn't horrible. Why wasn't it horrible? I'm going to start with my defense of this movie, in a sense. I don't even want to call it defending. Just, if you allow yourself to enjoy things, you can enjoy things. I understand some of you people are just too stupid to, like, sit there and just let yourself have fun with a movie, even if it's bad or considered bad. But, like, sometimes it's like, bro, there's really worse movies than that. Like, I watched an anime called School Days. That shit is horrendous. All right. Anyway. The movie isn't horrible because, one, someone fucking tried it. Like, that's always my first argument. I'm always happy that someone is going to try something. Because for some reason, I absolutely love the life extending of my favorite medias. Okay? Ileana was great. Cannonball was pretty cool. And Sunspot and his trauma was, like, fucking dope. All right, those are my three favorite things that, oh, and Lockheed cameo was really dope. I like that shit. All right, so fam, the movie's not horrible, okay? It really isn't. It's worth a watch, especially if you read New Mutants, because you might hate the movie, but you're going to see a bunch of cool things in there that's going to make you be like, damn, bro. This movie's bad, but at least they had a fucking plan. Like, it looked like they were finally thinking, maybe we should, you know, make a continued, expanded universe like Marvel, or even like DC's tried to do, but then it was too late. Why do I say this? Because Essex Corporation made an appearance via TV screen or computer screen, and that would imply that Nathaniel Essex, Mr. Sinister, would be involved. What does this have to do with anything? He likes to clone a lot of people. He likes to clone mad people, mad mutant people. He's a clone machine, man. He just loves to fucking clone. He's even messed with his own DNA. So, like, some who have watched this movie will be like, all right, if you haven't noticed yet, my shit's spoiler. So spoiler. All right. So for anyone who has seen the movie, we all know that Cecilia Reyes dies. She could come back with cloning. She could come back because I'm pretty sure Nathaniel takes all people's DNA. All right. So that was one really cool thing. Ileana and her trip to her happy place was like something that could be expanded on in the future. I think it was in Jonathan Hickman's recent Dawn of X stuff, but Ileana once went like full demon. Like, that shit was dope. Imagine if they started playing on that in the movies through other New Mutant titles. The acting for what they were supposed to be acting for wasn't bad. The script, however, was like mid. All right, like there was certain ways that they portrayed certain things that was just like, that's all right. Like the love interest in the shows and stuff like that. It was like, shoehorn that in there. Yep. You can kind of tell that it's leaning. We're just going to push it. And then boom, we have a relationship. It was kind of interesting, but just not done well. As far as that. Now, everyone who's heard of New Mutants knows that this movie was deemed a horror action film. That was a good idea based on the way they used Moonstar's power. I can't remember her name. I want to say Danny. So the way they based using her powers, and her powers made everyone's darkest fears come to like life as a weapon. And that was really fucking cool, because the fears that some of these people had were like really dark to them, and it really played on their trauma. My only issue with this is I feel like, I don't know if it's something that would have been explained further. If it would have been explained further, like in more movies, fine. But specifically Ileana, I mean, I pick on her a lot because she's my favorite out of the cast. Magic's dope. But she, there's this thing that her trauma needed to be explored a little bit more, in my opinion. I feel like they could have expanded on what was happening to her as a child, why the Smileys were attacking in the first place, who brought the Smileys to her, what type of demons were these or whatever. I feel like that could have been explored so much better if they either made the movie more time, or if this movie got fleshed out, or if she got a solo or something. But I'm not the best movie reviewer, but those are just my opinions and my takeaways. You know, that used to be Rob's job, but Rob's not here. But honestly, that's how I feel about it. I give the movie like a 5 or a 6 out of 10. Yeah, it's fucking low. Why would I watch that? No, fam, listen. If you ain't got shit to do, if you ain't got shit to watch, and you like comic books, and you still watch all the X-Men movies, watch New Mutants on HBO Max. It's worth the watch. It's really cool shit in there. And then, like, you'll just be thinking, yo, if only they did a good job. If only they did this or that. Like, it would have been so good to finally see the X-Men start to make their fruition. Feel me? Aight. On to movie and TV. Actually, haha, I lied. I big lied. Invincible has been great so far. It sucks because, like, I've been reading Invincible, so my brain is like, yo, I know that part. They changed that part. Oh my god, they changed that part. Oh, they sped that up. Wait, did they speed that up, or is it like the right timing? But man, oh man, I really hope he dumps Amber in the animation, because like, bro, I don't like Amber. Amber's trash. William's trash. I don't like either one of them. But Invincible, it's mad cool seeing Invincible be invincible. Like, he's learning every time. And it just sucks that I read this, because now I'm just like, yo, I can't wait for this to happen. I can't wait for that to happen. And I'm not sure if the Invincible universe is done in the comic. Like, if that line is over with. But there's something that I feel like is missing. I'm gonna come back to that, but I feel like there's a little thing missing, and it might be because it's like a limited run thing, but I could be wrong. But I'm gonna think about that, because I did have something in my head. But Invincible's great. It's on Amazon Prime Video, so you should watch that if you have that, if you like anything superhero. Why are you here if you don't like superheroes? Bloody, funny as fuck. If you like The Walking Dead, because there's mad voice actors from The Walking Dead in there, dog, just check that shit out. The animation is really funny to me, though. Like, I've been really looking at frames a lot recently, and I look at that, and I'm just like, that looks strange. But at the same time, it's like, oh, that's okay. Because I'm so used to anime, so I look at that, and I'm just like, that looks like some mid. But I haven't watched a cartoon in, like, mad fucking long. So I look at Invincible in a weird way, but it's such a good show. And the comic's great, too, but we're going to talk about that later, because this is the watching section. Other than that, I haven't really been watching anything. I rewatched Total Drama Island, and, man, Gwen is still my favorite character. That show is still hilarious as hell, and it has wild race jokes in that shit. And yeah, when you sit there and think about it, you're just like, wait, that's kind of, I don't know if I should be mad or if I should keep laughing. It's definitely worth a rewatch. All right, and in other news, Batman Long Halloween Animated will be a multi-part. That is great. I am extra hyped for that. I literally love that comic book story, even though I don't remember most of it. But, you know, once I catch up on stuff, I will gladly do a reread of almost everything. I'm not rereading Empire. Almost everything in my library. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the show, is, like, mad good, all right? I'm not talking about the episode that came out when I recorded this. I'm talking about the last episode, sort of, and, like, everything in between. The show is fucking great. I really enjoy the new Captain America. Not in the sense that I like him as a replacement, but I like the way he's going. I like the track record he's on. Like, this man is going to be just like his comic counterpart, which is finna be mad cool, bro. I knew he was gonna take that serum, not just cause I read, but like the way he been talking the whole episode, cuz was like, yo, I'm gonna take that serum, fam. And I knew that nigga was gonna do that shit, bro. That's crazy. I don't know why he did it. I mean, I know why he did it. I don't know why he did it, but he did it. And then homeboy killed him in the street, cuz. Yo, when he beat him to death with that shield, bro, I was just like, hey, yo. And then this man look around like, yo, who wants some next? Fam, you are not Captain America. Like, I really like how they messing with him. Alright, my thing is, I don't think that the serum just gave him some extra power. I think it also enhances a person's state of mind at the time. It could also be why Bucky is the way he is and never changing. And it could also be why Cap was easily stayed on his path without straying. I feel like the serum also fucks with your emotions, but only the emotions that are already there. So all the doubts that Walker had and everything, it just got amplified by that shit, which would be mad dope. Alright, there was a Marvel website for Madripoor and it had X-Men references, but Marvel took them down, and I truly think that was the dumbest thing ever. Even if they think people would overreact or overthink it, like, fuck it. Let people have fun with it. If it's something, say no. If you're not sure what you're going to do with it, leave it there. People are like, no, it's better if we have our answers. Some people are with me, and it's just like, yo, bro, it's your fault for overthinking it. Literally. So you know what? Let them keep it there, and let us have our fun. Because, like, it was cool to have some references towards X-Men. Oh, are they coming? Are they not? Madripoor is going to be a thing. Maybe freaking we'll find mutants just chilling there one day. Who knows? But it would be really dope. Because, like, it could be connected to Krakoa. Secretly, the mutants have been running their distribution. Like, bro, Dawn of X in the movies. Y'all know how I feel about that. Because every time I mention X-Men in the TV show or the Disney joint, all I say is I want Dawn of X version in there. Like, this shit, listen, I read old X-Men books, not like, I haven't read a whole run yet, although I do plan on getting some. But like, this shit that I'm reading now is just fucking phenomenal. Like, it's really got me up to, like, Jonathan is doing his fucking thing, bro. Like, I love this shit. I put people on. That's how much I like this. And I'm not even the biggest Marvel fan. Like, I just like Marvel comics. But this shit makes me a Marvel fan, bro. Like, I like the X-Men as much as I like Carnage, my G. On God. And then there's a Rover. Ha ha. It's a Wolverine rumored anthology show to be on Disney Plus. That would be really cool. I didn't really read the article too much. I should have just for y'all, but I didn't want to expose the rumors to my head just yet. But I'm liking the idea, and it could really help expand a bunch of mythos, because Wolverine has touched base with, like, almost everybody who's been in X-Men, like, in the X-Men-verse, I should say. And some of the normal-verse, but who cares about that? We only care about X-Men over here, okay? Only X-Men and only Venom, Spider-Man, Carnage, all right? That's all we care about, and all the female spiders, because they're fucking great. They're so great. I cannot wait for us to get a Silk show or a Spider-Woman show. Jessica Drew, at it again. All right, and in some other news, the Marvel Avengers game will have new suits inspired by the MCU, and they will be exclusively for purchase only. So that's, like, money purchase, by the way. Fucking stupid. Like, I mean, I get it, right? I get it, because we're in the age of microtransactions and everybody wants their coin. Yes. Understood. But your game fucking sucks. Give us some free awesome costumes, especially with the DLC, if the DLC is something that needs to be purchased. I don't remember if we purchased DLC or if it's free updates. If it's free updates, fine. Fine. But if it's not free updates, then fuck that. Give us the costumes for free. Especially if they're MCU inspired, especially after you modeled the fucking game the way you did. Ooh, listen. I haven't played that game in a while. I want to go back to it. I do. But I really, really, really dislike most of it. I don't like the way they're treating it. I don't like the way they're treating the people who are playing it. It just seems like, I don't know, man. It's just, you make a not so good game, and then you're like, we want you to dump mad money into it for these cool costumes we got. I mean, yeah, we fucked up, but how about it? Nah, that's just me, though. If y'all like the costumes, that's cool. The costumes are cool. I just wouldn't purchase them. I'd rather just play that game. If it's not tied to an achievement, I ain't spending money on that game. Nope. Mass Effect Remastered goes gold ahead of May release date, which means nothing will stop it. Nothing production-wise. This game is ready to go, and it will be ready for y'all to play very, very soon. Speaking of ready to play very, very soon, Nier Automata comes out next fucking week. So don't expect me to do a podcast. And if I do a podcast on time next week, just know that it's going to be before I play Nier. Not Automata, Replicant. Before I play Nier. Because that game is great. That game is beautiful. All right, listen. If you love, like, philosophy, the idea of life, thinking about morals and a bunch of other stuff like that, and then if you like androids, robots, and sci-fi, and your games to have, like, six main characters of some sort, play Nier Automata. The game is beautiful. The music is absolutely stunning. The world is gorgeous, and it truly, truly, truly makes you want to dive into everything else, a part of the universe. All right, so yeah, anyway, Nier Replicant's coming. It is the prequel to Nier Automata, And supposedly, I've heard that they added new content, like a specific mission that gives you a more directly noticeable sequel push connection into Nier Automata, which is really great. Then they also brought back Papa, which I didn't play the old games, but I do know that other people truly, truly like this character, and they will be returning for Replicon. And we also get some other bonus stuff. I was lucky enough to snag myself a Weight of the World music box. I love my music boxes if they're related to video games. And I also was able to snag the White Snow edition for my Xbox Series X. So this shit is gonna be dope. It's gonna play so good, especially since it's an Xbox One game. The Series X is gonna make this like 10 times more worth it. So I'm super hyped to play this. I am so excited because I'm a big ass fan of this game now. Like, I sit on YouTube just watching hella videos about this shit, this game. Like, bro, it's worth it. It's fucking fire. It's great. So on the 23rd, I'm gonna go check this calendar right now for y'all. But I want to say on the 23rd, you know, never mind. There we go. I found the calendar. I was about to say, I don't even know how to access the calendar on my fucking computer. 23rd, Nier comes out. I work that day. But I bet you I'll be downloading that game. I will be playing it if it arrives before work. I will be playing it right after work. And I'll be playing it all day on the 24th. So, yes, fair warning. Might not have this great-ass podcast to hold you over. Or I'll do a podcast while I'm playing the game. But I don't think y'all want that, because last time I gamed and podcast, it literally sounded like that. Like, I was pausing to think about shit and whatnot. Also, I want to focus. So, yeah, that's that. Anyone who played Outriders between March 31st and April 11th would get an apology package for the server outages and issues that happened during the launch window. Honestly, there were issues with the game, like as far as something happening, the servers and whatnot. Yeah, there was issues, but it was light issues, to be honest. Like, I wasn't even too worried about most of that. Listen, bro, if you have an Xbox, you have nothing to be worried about, especially if you have an Xbox with Game Pass. Why? Because the second Outriders goes down, Game Pass has too many games. So you can literally play anything while you wait for the servers to come back up. It's fucking great. Or you can read something that I've been talking about, so you can tweet me about it or talk to me while you listen to me, because that's what I do when I go on YouTube. And yeah, anyway, that makes me sound crazy. So I'm gonna move on to Nintendo's Furukawa, forgive me if I butchered that, said in an interview that they are definitely thinking of new ways to change the Switch or add to it. There are limitations, but they are also thinking of ways to expand existing IPs while also trying to come up with new creative ones. And you know what I took out of this? I took out of this, I need Metroid. Give me my Metroid. When am I getting Metroid? Bro, listen, fam. Nintendo, I do not care. I do care. What you are doing, what you are not doing, unless it involves Metroid. Why? Because Metroid is my favorite Nintendo game in the entire world that I can possibly think of right now. Like, possibly. Okay? And that's a lot of fucking games y'all got. But Metroid is really, really, really the only thing I can fucking think of. Now, on another note, apparently people were thinking that someone was trying to buy Square Enix. Guys, listen, as much money as Sony dumps into them, and as much money as Microsoft's trying to counter dump into them, probably, They're not going to sell. They're probably making more money cutting these deals back and forth than they would if they sold. And also, I think a lot of the people who run Square or own Square kind of enjoy what they do in a sense. Like, the games that come up. Listen, I mean, personally, I understand that you need business people in certain positions because it'll help out in some sort of way or whatever, right? Right? Okay. But I also think that the people who own these companies like seeing what's being made. I would hope so. I mean, they don't have to, but listen, all I'm saying is I don't see Square selling anytime soon. I think that the entire Square team is excited for what they have. Like, I don't see anything changing from that anytime soon. And that's fine. That's honestly perfectly okay. Square's doing their own thing. They're not 100% on anyone's side. They're just making their money. So, in that right, I'm extremely, extremely happy. Apparently, a couple people are leaving Sony as they inform developers that it no longer wants to produce smaller games that are only successful in Japan. And my issue with that is, Sony, you should keep making those smaller games, okay? Hear me out. The reason why you should still make those smaller games that are popular in Japan is because they are also popular in the U.S. There are many games that I see a bunch of my Twitter people buying that are literally Japanese only. I haven't bought them myself, but I definitely would if, I mean, it might be a great way for me to improve my Japanese anyway, my reading. But if I was more confident in my Japanese skills, I would buy strictly Jap-like games from Japan that don't come out here. I mean, I know I could easily just, like, figure out, like, I can easily figure out, oh, that's that. There's probably subtitles, all that stuff. But I just want to be able to enjoy it in their native given content language. But I still think that Sony should backtrack that, and they should start helping branch those games out. Like, I think that it would do a decent job. I know the money's freaking expensive, especially since most of us want physical, but, like, bro, listen, if you don't promote them, then, like, what the fuck? They're only going to stay important in that one area. Other than that, the next issue with this whole thing is they could, like, really, I don't know, end up overworking their studios or just shooting high all the time and then ending up shot down. Because it's like they make a lot of great games that people love. But now they're held up to a high expectation and they feel like they need to always 1,000% exceed that expectation. That's fine to have that mindset. But if it's going to fuck up your work ethic or your teams or the people under, then that's not cool. Like, anyone who feels like they're not getting support from Sony and that's why they're leaving because of that announcement they made, good for them. Like, that's not... Listen, man. There are so many indies and smaller games that are really good. And people just never give them a try. And I feel like that's them kind of kicking people in the ass. And they're just like, well, you Japanese only people. Even though we're a Japanese console. You Japanese only small games that aren't AAA. Gotta kick the bucket. I don't know. That's how I take it. I don't like that. I think that's trash. I think they need to give people a very fair shot in that area. But that's my opinion. All right. CD Projekt Red not giving up on Cyberpunk, which is great news. They should not, because that game isn't fully great. Like, I'm the only person in the world, apparently, who enjoys it. Not really. I know about, like, 20 people. But a lot of people don't enjoy it as much, and I think people need to play it, and I think people need to enjoy it, so they got to get on that and fix that, which also means multiplayer will eventually come, I'd hope, but that's not the main priority. They want to fix up the game. They're not giving up on it. They're still going to go with their downloadable content roadmap. They just want to push that back. I believe they did announce that a while back. That wasn't in this article. They're going to push that back probably and just work on fixing the game. Once the game's fixed, they're probably going to go back over the DLC, make sure that works well with the game, unlocks things properly. I mean, I see nothing but good possibly coming from this game. It can only go up since it started off so bad, because the game itself is great. It's really fun. I'm on my third playthrough. Sony is supposedly making something like Game Pass, and it will probably include anime subscription. And to be honest, I don't want it. But that's me. That would be cool. If you watch anime and you love Game Pass, but you refuse to buy it because you're not a Sony person, then you can get it over there. But also, there's literally still so many people who watch anime for free that I kind of feel like the anime isn't going to help too much. Yes, anime is extremely popular and whatnot, but it's still extremely accessible, like, anywhere on the internet. So I can easily see them trying to do this and that not being the attention grabber. It's going to have to be the games. And even then, I feel like if they try and recreate Game Pass, Xbox is only going to dump more money into it. They've already perfected Game Pass. It's about to come to, it's still in beta for Android and stuff, but people can use cloud phone gaming, and it's coming to iOS soon. And it's just like, they can compete, and it's good if they do, but it's going to have to offer a lot more. Like, listen, I'm going to go to my Game Pass right now. Let me see something. Game Pass has over 100 games. And the games on Game Pass go all the way back to Xbox Original. This is Xbox Original games, Xbox 360 games, Xbox One games, and Xbox Series XS games. All right, bro. And then there's PC involved. And then there's phone games involved. And then there's touch controls, so you don't need to use your controller. Like, they literally have this shit down packed. They know what they're doing. And it's not that I don't think Sony can come up with something good. I don't think they can come up with something as compelling. Good, for sure. Compelling, I just don't think so. But that's me. I don't know what type of bag Sony would get in to get that. But it would be useful. You guys don't have to pay for your games if they make it as similar to that as possible. Other than that, oh, shit. I'm sorry. That was a Killer Instinct classic, too. But we're not done here. Supposedly, the latest Kojima game was denied in a pitch to Sony. Now, if we take this at face value, we can say that's because the game underperformed. As in 2020, it was the next best-selling game behind Days Gone. And Days Gone, I think it had about 4 million players. I looked up the numbers, but I forgot to post them. 4.5 million players, maybe. So if it sold under that, it had less than that, of course. It could have been one less. It could have been a million less. But it sold under that. And it may have been a record-breaking thing in the moment for Sony, but that doesn't mean it was 100% like profitable or that big for them. So what I'm saying here is Sony probably didn't like the way Death Stranding was going. And they said, you know what, Kojima? We're going to have to not take that one. Sorry, bro. Or it could have been they wanted him to do a specific type of game and he came to them with something else and they were just like, ah, nah, we're good on that. Which is fine. I mean, they're allowed to say no. But if that's true, then it might possibly also be true about the Xbox thing, which would be a really good partnership. It really would. It would open up a lot of things for Xbox. And if that works out and if Phil Spencer decides that he likes the project that Kojima did, whether it sold ridiculously well or just really good, it could lead to very positive relationships with Kojima and Xbox forever. Like, that would be really good. I'm not saying we take him from Sony forever. What I'm saying is we'd be able to be like, hey, Kojima, you want to try and make a game over here? And he'll highly consider it, or he will just say yes. Or if he pitches a game to us, it's a good chance we might say yes, as long as he's doing a really good vision that they feel like can succeed. I think Death Stranding was a fun game. I never beat it, but I like the cinematics, the story that was going with it. The gameplay was very simulator-ish, which I had no issue with. It's just not captivating for me, but the story is what kept me trying to play it. Like, I plan on going back, but I got to start over because the game's kind of confusing when you just stop. You got to remember how to play the controls and all that. But, I mean, hey, game's good at the end of the day. Story was fire at the end of the day, and people like that game, not just me. Further on, Oxenfree 2 was announced during the Nintendo stream, and I'm extremely hyped. That game was like a really cool, creepy, side-scrolling-ish game. Like, I really fucking loved that game. That game was really, really dope, and it dealt with like radio frequencies and little creepy stories, and bro, all I'm saying, like, yo, I would really, really play that game over again. Actually, I'm going to see if they have it on Game Pass because that game's really fun and it deserves to be played more than once. The game's just fucking fire, bro. And they're coming out with a sequel. It was released during the Nintendo stream and I'll be happy if it comes to Xbox. But if it does not, that's fine by me too. I'm going to get it on, I guess I'll just get it on fucking Nintendo Switch, if that ends up being the case. Not that I want to, but I'll do it because it is worth it. Like, that game story is just phenomenal, bro. Also, Assassin's Creed Valhalla DLC, Wrath of the Druids, moved from April 29th to May 13th. So if that's something you were looking for, you gotta wait.
Alright, all you comic nerds. So, the new X-Men lineup for 2021... It's new ongoing X-Men will be Cyclops, Marvel Girl, Sunfire, Rogue, Wolverine, X-23 version, Cinch, and Polaris. And I'm extremely happy because I have been fucking screaming that I want Polaris on the X-Men team after reading her in X-Factor. But I wonder what is going to happen with the X-Factor books. Was that a short run or is that still going to be ongoing? I haven't checked to see what's ending and what's not ending. But that starts in July. The new X-Men book. And then they'll be releasing some other stuff. So new team books will be coming out. Because we are now getting... I forgot what the fuck it's called. But it's like how he did Dawn of X. He's doing another thing of Reign of X. Yeah, that's what it was. Reign of X. And I believe that this X-Men team will consist of Gary Dugan. Yes, yes it will. We're gonna have some fun here. I can't wait. This cover looks fucking beautiful. I don't know if it's gonna be the actual X-Men 1 cover or if they just posted this cover. But if this is the actual cover for X-Men 1, it's a huge-ass cover, first off. Second, it's going to be beautiful. I can't wait. I've also gotten my hands on Children of the Atom, and it was pretty fucking good, man. A bunch of kids from New York who... All right, let's do it like this. Children of the Atom starts off really cool. You have Batrice Bartholomew, a.k.a. Buddy, and a team of mutants trying to stop another group of mutants. The evil mutants seem to be some who have lost their powers after M-Day and are working as mercenaries. Not all of them happen to have lost their powers, but everyone except for one member of the group. The group meets some of the X-Men after taking out the bad people, and the X-Men invite them to Krakoa. And instead, they tell them that they have a home there. They ask them why they aren't home, and it ends up, they tell them some excuse. They say, we're not ready to go just yet. There's reasons, but we're not going to tell you necessarily. And so they go walk through the gate and nothing happens. Well, they walk through the gate and the X-Men don't see the young kids there. The young kids just ran away. Now, the young kids, later you find out, go out at night and it looks like they try every day to cross the Krakoan gate, but it always fails. But they are so optimistic that they try again. And in the meantime, until they can do that, they play superhero back on Earth. Back on American soil that's not Krakoa. During this discussion, Wolverine was thinking about bringing the children back by force, but Storm and all the others didn't think that was going to be a good idea. They think that they should be home, but they think that it should be their choice. And so starts a debate between them all. And like, honestly, it's just good thinking or a good chat between all the parties. Like, you just see how everybody feels about this type of situation. But it is eventually agreed upon that Storm will go out to try and talk to the children. Hopefully she can find out what's wrong with them so they can find out a way to get them through the gate. But I think the story is really cool because it's like high schoolers, and it's very connectable. Like, it's relatable to younger readers or anybody who had to deal with something during their high school year. Like, so far, I've only read issue 1. Issue 2's already come out, but I haven't found it. It's a good story so far. I'm enjoying it. If you're reading all of the X stuff, you should add this onto your list. Other than that, I give that read a 8 out of 10. And yeah, that's it for this week. Enjoy your 43 minutes maybe. Enjoy me rambling and talking about all these great comic books and movies and shite. Peace.